A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 17th of December, 2020. Yeah? Today is our last class for the year, sharing. After that, we will break about 2 weeks for your year-end holiday. So wish every Kaya Metta a good and happy holiday. So for those who plan internal travel, I think still allowable. A lot of people plan to Malaysia, but take care. Make sure you bring your mask, social distance, and take care, because if you don't take care, there are a lot of possibility of contagious COVID-19 possibilities. So based on the number of new cases and active cases, I think we need to take care if you are traveling. Otherwise, like my wife said, try to be an obedient guy, stay at home more. Unless absolutely necessary, don't go everywhere unnecessarily. If you need to leave your house, you make sure you take care, your mask, everything. Okay, we will continue from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings based on the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerable Meaning. We are at page 65. We will continue from there. Just relax yourself, body and mind, completely relax, be at ease, and free your mind completely. We shall, as usual, have the half an hour awareness-based meditation. So I will off the light. Then you can have your half an hour awareness-based meditation. You can start your meditation now. For those who need some form of instruction, maybe I will just give you a very brief one. If you want to know more, you should listen to the earlier sharing. There was one, I think, which we did last week. It was very good. I think 3 classes ago, where there are 2 new people that join us, Joyce friend. That one, the description is very clear, from head to end. So you go through that one, it will help you understand. So for tonight, I just repeat the 4 support to develop awareness-based meditation. So the 4 support are: first, relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever that arises, let it arise. Do not resist. Do not interfere. Do not try to change it. So relax means completely at ease, physically and mentally, free your mind, no need to hold on to anything, and don't try to do anything, just relax. Second support is maintain awareness, just aware inside. To be aware is to be mindful without thought. So before the arising of thought, there is an awareness within. The mind is just aware, finish. Then because you have your senses, you have a consciousness trapped inside. So upon contact between consciousness and the sense bases together with the sense data, it will trigger the arising, respective arising consciousness. You just aware, finish. No need to know, no need to follow. Then whatever that arise, whether tactile sensation or tactile consciousness, aware, finish. Hearing also same, aware, finish. Smell, taste, touch. Do not follow the thinking. Do not follow the sankhara activity or movement. Just maintain awareness, awareness, and let the sankhara activity slow down. Let the mundane thinking or mundane mental movement slow down until it ceases. When it ceases, means it has returned to its original true mind or the awareness nature before the stirring, before the arising of thought. So all of meditation is to realize this silent mind, the meditative mind, which is also your true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. That's why relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize this. So the third support is to maintain this awareness for as long as you can, or we call it 24-hour awareness, to stabilize this sati or mindfulness or awareness nature within. You can do this, you will develop the meditation. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do. Don't interfere with your thought process. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, because that one is the thought, the egoic mind. That will lead to thought-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation is relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then stabilize the awareness. Use it to meditate, use it to develop understanding. We will turn to page 65 of the book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings. This is based on the adapted verses from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So we were at the last paragraph. Yeah, last paragraph, page 65. In both body and mind, we are always arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. So these are the four stage cycle of all phenomena. All physical thing, all mental, and all nature's phenomena. So this one we have gone through, just like our physical body. When we are born into this world as a fetus, we arise, we came into being, then slowly, slowly we grew from a fetus to become a baby, then from the baby to become a child, then the child to become a youth, then youth become an adult. So the arising phase and the growth phase will continue until it plateau off and starts to go downhill, decay, getting old, the decay process. Then finally, of course, the ultimate death. The plant also same. From the seed, it germinate, grow, then it starts to decay at the end of the season. Then after that, it wither off. Then maybe it will hibernate or die. But if it's not supposed to die, after the condition, adverse condition is over, they will start to bud again in the spring and summer. They will flower. So almost every phenomenon, they exhibit this four-stage cycle. I prefer to call it birth. Birth means you are born into this world. Then there is this growth phase, or the initial sustaining phase, where you actually grew. Then after that, there is a decaying phase, where you really go downhill until finally death. So this four stage cycle, they are universal characteristics of all phenomena. But some are shorter, very short. If you don't have mindfulness and awareness or understanding, you cannot see them. Like my voice, our breath, our pulse of life, they are very short. So maybe you can see them like birth and death, born, die. But there is actually a short period of sustenance, decay, then it ends. So all this, they can be observed in all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. Then we will go on, continue from the notes. After the four-stage cycle, they give this example. Our body are also constantly breathing. Everything on earth and in the universe is in constant motion, means state of flux, vibration. If our mind are tranquil, we can truly comprehend the principle of physical matter, of living being, and of the mind, which are the principle that underlies all things in this universe. This is very true. If your mind can be tranquil and still, means if you can return to your awareness nature, which is your true mind, there is clarity, there is sensitivity, then you can see many things, you can understand many things, then you can feel their constant vibration or motion, the author call it motion. They have their own, supporting condition to sustain their life. In science, we call it everything is in a state of flux. You know the meaning of this word, isn't it? F-L-U-X, flux, means very fast vibration or movement, changing, effervescent, flux, especially electricity, the wave, electromagnetic wave, they exhibit the same. And you have gravity, you have light, you have water, even the air, the atmosphere, everything, the wind, the breeze. They have their vibration, they have their supporting condition. So if you are mindful and you are sensitive, you can feel them. So everything on earth and in the universe is in constant motion or in a state of flux. That if our mind are tranquil, we can truly comprehend the principles of all physical matter of living beings and of the mind. So these three things complete the existence. So here they say, they are the principle that underlies all things in the universe, which is true. All physical things will be covered by physical matter, then all living beings and of the mind will cover the mental phenomena. Then nature's phenomena is also part of nature, and nature has both physical and mental. But a lot are very natural phenomena, movement. So when you can truly comprehend, means you have wisdom, you have understanding, your mind is sensitive. It has the ability to comprehend. It can observe, awaken, and understand. That is what meditation is all about. That's why you have to meditate with the true mind, the mind that is tranquil, still, and just aware, without thought. You don't meditate with the thought. Thought-based meditation leads to knowledge. It doesn't lead to wisdom or insight. It cannot awaken the living beings. Then I will read on. Then we can become one with everything. This is very true. And realize the state of having vows as vast as the universe. Yeah, this is beautiful and very true. But it's not easy to understand. When he said, the author said, you can be one with everything, means you must develop the ability to meditate, to realize the oneness nature. Means your true mind, your true nature, which is the oneness nature, can be one with all things. Means it's like a new mono within the phenomenal world. This phenomenal world is like the whole thing. You can be one with it. Your oneness nature, the true mind. It's only when you can be one with it, then you can understand many things. Then he said, the author said, if you can do that, then you will comprehend and understand your vows. Your vows are as vast as the universe. For you to have that ability, to have that oneness nature, you must realize Sammasambuddhahood or become a great being. And your meditation must actually become very, very stable for that to manifest. So this phrase, vow as vast as the universe, is not easy to understand because it describes our resolve, which can be as far-reaching and as vast as the universe. Especially the four great vows of the Bodhisattva, they are really, really very, very vast. As we all have studied before, the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva to go the Bodhisattva way, you need this vow. They complement your cultivation and understanding. Without this vow, you cannot go this way. So the first vow is already so extensive. You vow to take the cross or liberate all sentient beings or living beings throughout the entire universe. How massive and vast that vow is. And living beings are really countless, limitless. But you vow to take them all across, liberate them. Then the second vow also very extensive. You vow to endure and severe all suffering, all afflictions. Means you must have the wisdom, the patience, the understanding, and the virtue to enable you to do all this. Otherwise, impossible. Means all suffering and affliction. It will take aeons and aeons and aeons and aeons of birth and death and cultivation to finish that vow. Then you vow to comprehend, cultivate, and realize the limitless wisdom, means perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita, so that you can do this work. Then of course finally you vow to fulfill and cultivate to completion the 10 perfection, the 10 paramitas to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So these four, they are all very extensive and very vast vows. Only great beings can fulfill them. And when you can fulfill them, you become Sammasambuddha. So this word I will read again. The phrase vow as vast as universe describes our resolve. We can be far reaching and as vast as the universe. Even though the world is full of mountains, oceans, and various creatures and objects, everything can be understood as part of the one Dhamma. If we can completely understand this one Dhamma, the principle that all things are one, our mind will not discriminate between high and low, deep and shallow. Then despite the constant changes of time and the unceasing motion of all things in the universe, our mind and resolve can still abide in the state of oneness. This is the state in which our mind embraces the universe. So this oneness nature is very beautiful. That oneness nature is our true nature. You can only realize that when you can realize your true nature within. So you will go into that awareness nature, which is spacious awareness without a center. It's unending, just that awareness nature. And that is the oneness nature. If our mind can embrace the universe, then why can't living beings or human beings embrace each other? We can even live in peace with strangers. So why is it that so many conflicts still arise with the people we know, with the people around us? Why do we fail to be kind and understanding towards one another? If just one thing goes against our wishes, we cannot accept it. Doesn't this show that we are truly unenlightened beings? So this is very common and very true. When normal living beings who are not enlightened, when they cannot get what they want, when things don't go their way, when their expectations in life are not met, what will happen? They become miserable, afflicted, and they are unhappy, and they cannot accept that happening. So it shows that they are really deluded, because according to the Buddha, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind, that this is a condition war. Everything is dependent originating. That's why the Mahayana Sutta, in the Diamond Sutta, they say in Mandarin, each year you wave off. Everything within the condition world or condition dhamma, you wave off. So this is a very powerful statement. You understand this statement, you will understand the condition world. But if you are an enlightened being, you can never understand, because the ego is so strong, your self-delusion, psychiatry is so strong. You think you exist and you think you can own things, monopolize things, and you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Nature's way is to accord and flow with condition. There are nature's laws that govern life and existence. So if the condition is such that nature's law will operate, that is not for you to say whether you agree or you don't agree, because this is the Dhamma way, nature's way. When you understand that, you can accept all reality that arises. Whatever happened, that is the reality, the isness of thing, what is. That's why Krishnamurti say the isness of thing. You have to come to terms with what is the reality, the moment within existence. Because for that condition to arise, there must be supporting condition behind. And these causes and conditions already fixed. That's why at that time, the world will be the way it is. People will be the way they are. It cannot be otherwise. If you don't have the wisdom, you cannot accept the reality, you will be afflicted when you cannot get what you want. suffering arise, affliction arise, you will react and stir your mind, develop delusion, ignorance, create wrong thought. That's how suffering comes to be. So living beings, without the Dhamma understanding, without the wisdom and the awakening, they are always deceived by the phenomenal world. And they are afflicted by all this wrong view or wrong understanding. They deludedly grasp, cling, and hold on to things, attach to things, and with the egoic mind, want things their way, which is not nature's way. They act against the nature's law. They don't have the wisdom to accord and flow. When you can accord and flow, you are in perfect harmony with nature, with the pulse of life, with the rhythm of nature, then there is harmony. Otherwise, there is resistance, there is conflict. The egoic mind that is full of views, opinion, and conditioning is incapable of peace because that one has a lot of self-delusion. That one is very egoic, always wanting their way, which is not nature's way. And they are very possessive, very egoic, selfish. Then when they cannot get what they want, they become angry, unhappy, emotional. Then when they cannot understand, they develop fear. Then when things go wrong, without wisdom, they blame the world, they blame others. They blame everything except themselves. Then sometimes when they develop deeper delusion, they become remorseful. Remorseful means they end up blaming themselves too. Initially it's pointing finger out, blaming others. Then later on, blame themselves. That's why you hear a lot of this thing that living being tend to say when they are confronted with problem. Why is God so unfair? Why are these people that way? Why are they so selfish, unconsiderate? Why is my life so miserable? Why everything me? Why me? So all these are wrong view, wrong thought, brings about affliction. He know you, he know me. If you understand that profoundly, you will be free. Because this form of mind is not real, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No. This is just a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditional for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to fulfill our vow, to go through karmic conditioning. So all this, if you understand, then you will know how to abide by this understanding and live life beautifully. Then life become meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. Then you will know this form of mind is just a vehicle and a tool for us to come. It's impermanent. If you attach, cling, hold, and grab one thing your way, it leads to suffering, affliction. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why non-self. Non-self doesn't mean nothingness. Non-self means not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. But this one, the vehicle and tool, because it's karmically conditioned for you to come to this world, is subject to karma. That's why you have a duty towards the law of nature. This form of mind, even though not you, but is connected to your nature, karmically connected, means karmic nature. So you need to abide by that understanding. So you have to do your duty as a form of mind. So use it to live life, to experience whatever you want to experience, to go through life, to cultivate, to develop perfection, wisdom, virtue. So do not be deluded by it. Do not cling, do not grasp, do not hold. And then that wisdom will actually free your mind, lead to enlightenment, liberate you from all suffering and affliction. So this is how the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching, can actually awaken living being, bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that we don't have to suffer. Okay, we will go on. It is the mind. Oh, sorry. We are called unenlightened beings, because we have this delusion. Because while it is easy for us to form an aspiration or make an aspiration, it is difficult for us to realize it. The English word is not so proper. To sustain it is, maybe it has its meaning, to sustain the aspiration, but to realize it. A mind that embraces the universe is the mind of this enlightened being. That's why they are called saint. The enlightened beings, the Arya, they are called sainthoods, saint, or sages, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, great beings. It is the mind of tranquility, stillness, and clarity. Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have developed such all-encompassing mind because of a single resolve. That resolve is very powerful. They count for the living beings. They have the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva. They hold on to that single resolve. To plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk this way, to realize Sammasambuddhahood. All Tsuchi volunteers know that they must take the Buddha's heart and their teacher's commitment as their own. So here, the Buddha's heart means the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue, or the embodiment of his teaching, the Dhamma. And their teacher's commitment as their own means their teacher, which is the abbot, empress. Zhenyan Pastor, as I is referring to Tsuchi's volunteer. Because their teacher is committed to this Bodhisattva way, to liberate all beings, to share this understanding of hers. That's how Tsuchi come about, the organization. But this is just a starting point. We learn the Buddha's way with the goal of attaining Buddhahood or realize Sammasambuddhahood. The Buddha, in addition to enlightening himself and others, perfecting enlightened conduct and being replete with wisdom, also engage in perfect beneficial cultivation or practices to benefit himself and others. So this is very true. What this means is that we must share the same resolve of dedicating ourselves wholeheartedly to walk the broad and open Bodhisattva way or path. They sometimes call in Mandarin, Chen Fo Da Dao. Chen Fo means to realize Sammasambuddhahood, that highway, Da Dao. So you have to walk that great highway. So it's actually the Bodhisattva way or path. To enter the Bodhisattva way or the path, we must open up our heart. We must go among living beings and willingly dedicate ourselves to benefit others. Only then will we succeed in our spiritual practice or cultivation. Since we are walking the Bodhisattva way or path, we cannot just focus on achieving our own awakening in self-enlightenment. Neither can we deny the law of karma and regard everything as empty. Instead, we must command our compassion and wisdom and resolve to benefit all sentient beings. Means we vow to take across the limitless living being or sentient being. If we can contemplate everything with wisdom and fully understand that the principle of everything in the universe ultimately return to the one Dhamma, the principle that from one countless phenomena arise, and that those countless phenomena all return to one, then we can understand that the principle are all founded in that one, means that mind of the oneness, or we call it the unconditioned Nibbana, or sometimes it's called the source of all things, the original nature or the true nature, which is our wholehearted resolve. Because from that resolve, you walk that way and realize the Sammasambuddhahood. So we must make vow as vast as the universe and uphold them unwavering. You have to uphold them unwavering. The moment you waver, you may not complete the path and fulfill your vow. You must uphold and persevere. This word is very important. Persevere. That's why I say three things you must have. You must be sincere to walk this way. Then you must have the faith. Then just do. Persevere. The way will be there. The path will be there. Everything will unfold. So the author say we must uphold and persevere in our vows for countless eons. This is very true. This is part of the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutra of Infinite Meanings. They call it the verses inside there. So uphold and persevere our vows for countless eons. Very true. We know that the principles we learn are very good, and we have already aspired to give of ourselves. However, we lack perseverance. This is mainly the problem. Most people don't have enough perseverance. Only great beings who understand will know they will persevere. No matter what happened, they will just move, accord and flow, because they have faith, they are sincere. Whatever happened is part of the way, just move, and then you will understand. We are eager to benefit ourselves and are not as interested in benefiting others. So this one refer to selfish beings, not unenlightened beings, putujanas. Amidst all these wrong thoughts of benefits and harm, gain and loss, it is easy for affliction to arise. We are always evaluating, calculating whether what we do will benefit us or will give rise to merits or not, advantages to us or not. In the end, this creates deluded and discursive thoughts or wrong thought or heedless thinking. Since we have already aspired to go among people and put the teaching into practice, we must not waver in our resolve, as I persevere. We must single-mindedly uphold the aspiration we have given rise to, and not let deluded and discursive wrong thought or heedless thinking enter our mind again. To achieve this, we must have confidence in ourselves and make great effort to cultivate, see, the word sincerity again, integrity, which is similar. That faith and steadfastness is the three things that I mentioned before. Steadfastness is like persevere. Faith is faith in the Buddha and his teaching and in your own nature's understanding. Sincerity also refers to genuine honesty, integrity. We need to firmly hold on to this faith or confidence and remain unwavering, even if we have to go through countless aeons and aeons and aeons of spiritual cultivation and perfection. Even if we have to go through countless, countless aeons of spiritual cultivation or perfection. If we can unwavering persevere in our resolve, truly carry the Buddha's virtue and wisdom in our heart, and live out the Dhamma in our action, then naturally, as we engage with people, infinite Dhamma door will readily appear in front of us. This is very true. The last paragraph. There is an ancient saying, in a group of three, I will find my teacher. Every person is a living sutra. The appearance and behavior of every person can teach us something. Some people have a wholesome and dignified demeanor and are gracious in dealing with people and matters. They can be role model for us to learn from. Others who are unkempt and do not care about their appearances serve as a warning for us to avoid their mistake. So this is how they learn, learn from everybody. But Master Shen Hua used to say this. He said, no matter what that person is, whether he is a cultivator, a virtuous person, or just an ordinary, heedless, good-knowing advisor that has a lot of heedless thinking, wrong thought, defilements, and all those things, or people who are very difficult to be with, So when we confront them, actually we should be grateful to both of these people. The one that is a cultivator, that has the understanding, we can learn from them, like what the author said. But according to Master Shen Hua, even the one that is heedless, deluded, and very difficult to be with, they are our good knowing advisor. From them, you can be tested and you can learn to test your cultivation. If you can deal with them, not be afflicted by what they do, their action, their speech, and their thought process, means you have passed the test. So they are also your teacher. That's why to me, finally I have this understanding. Life itself is our greatest teacher. From life, we can learn many, many things. Life is full of funny people. A very good mix of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. And you have to encounter most of them unless you make the vow to avoid the foolish and the heedless, made out with the wise and the enlightened one. That's why Samasambuddha, like Sakyamuni, teaches to invoke power of marriage to make this aspiration. we always chant during the post puja, means closing puja. It means punyang kamina. Punyang is all merits. By the power of this merit, may it arise the causes and conditions for us to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Constantly meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now. So we always chant them. It means punyang kamina. Ma me bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa imana patiya. So this is a very important aspiration. We invoke power of merits for this type of aspiration, so that when you do it sincerely with understanding over time, this aspiration can be fulfilled, can come about. But to do that, I realize you have to add in two more things. You must understand what is true merits. It means punyang, true merits. Not the what they call tinted merits. Tinted merit is thought based. True merits is wisdom based. Action, speech and thought that are born of the pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So that is the first thing that you must understand, means able to differentiate between true merits or pure merits and tinted merit. Then number two is you must understand who are the heedless. You must vow to have the understanding who are the heedless, what constitute heedlessness and deluded being, and who are the wise and the enlightened one. That's why you must have this understanding, like we understand what constitute evil. Whatever mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, they will lead to evil. That's why they are called wrong thought, evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. Whatever mind state that are free of the evil roots, they are wholesome thought, pure thought. Lead to wholesomeness, lead to all the virtue and understanding. So enlightened beings are noble ones. They are very noble in all aspects of their life. So you observe them, you will know they must have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. They must be free of all evil, all negativity, all wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, born of wrong view. They must have right view. They must have the Noble Eightfold Path, embodiment of it, so that it will lead to harmony, good understanding, and good life. There must be love, there must be compassion, there must be good mind state, wholesomeness, no more negativity of thought. So this understanding is very important. So when you really have the cultivation, then this aspiration can be fulfilled. Because I realize a lot of people chant like parrot. They can be very good at the chanting Ibina Punyang Kamina Mami Bala Samagamo. Wow, very fluent. But the deep meaning cannot be understood. So it doesn't really serve you well. Because if you just parrot it out without understanding, you just make that type of aspiration without understanding, then because you don't understand what constitutes heedlessness, who are the foolish and the heedless, you will not be able to avoid them. Then you can't even recognize who are the wise and the enlightened one. We are the wise and the enlightened one, don't have a chop on their forehead where you can recognize them. They sometimes can be ordinary living beings, not necessary to be in the rope. And you need to feel them. You need to have the affinity to actually feel them. The mindfulness, the sensitivity, the wisdom and the understanding to actually locate them and develop that ability to cognize them. So all these are very important. Okay, we go back to the notes, the sharing. In the same way, we can learn how to sustain our love and patience. Okay? Did we skip one page? Oh yeah, we haven't finished this last paragraph. In the group of three, okay, we finish. Others who are uncapped, we finish. And do not care about their appearance, surface, or someone. Okay, we finished that one. Okay, next page. In the same way, we can learn how to sustain our love and patience. So love and patience is very important. You must have metta, universal love. Then patience is patient endurance with wisdom. It's not patient endurance with delusion. That one is the wrong type of patience. That one is actually suppression yan. But the real patient endurance with wisdom is different. You can endure because you have wisdom. You will not react, you will not become unhappy, you will not get angry. You will endure. But there are many things that you need to endure. That's why in our vow, the second basic vow of the Bodhisattva, we vow to endure and severe all suffering. There are certain types of suffering you need to endure. You cannot cut it off or severe it because it's not the one that you use wisdom. You can just cut it off. I give you one example. Because our consciousness is trapped inside our physical body, so as we experience old age sickness and pending death, this type of suffering are real. Dukkha dukkata, suffering within form. So this one you need to endure, like you have a disease, like certain type of disease or sickness. They develop pain. Then like rheumatism and other things, when cold weather, when it rains or what, it affects your physical. Then because your consciousness is trapped inside, tactilely you will feel it. So that type of suffering is suffering within form. Dukkha dukkata. So this one you need to endure, you need to endure before medical attention arrives. Before you receive the medication or somebody who can help you to relieve that type of suffering, you need to endure. So initially, you need to endure many things. Sometimes even in the meditation, you have to go through pain, painful feeling, painful sensation. When you endure with understanding, you can overcome it. You know how to relax into every mind state that arises. Relax. When you relax, the energy flow through the whatever restriction or constriction that arises during meditation because you are not relaxed enough. Then sometimes you cross your leg or you are in certain sitting posture, that chi flow is being obstructed or constricted. That's why you will develop numbness, pain. So all this, when they arise, you have to endure. Even itchiness, you have to endure and see how it arises, how it sustains itself, how it breaks, and how you can endure and free. There is this rise and fall. So you can see all the conditions behind. So endurance is very important. You need to endure many things in life. Sometimes before help come, you need to endure. Like in the middle of a crisis or what, before any help come, you need to endure. You have to endure. Of course, you can develop your prayers, your aspiration. You invoke power of merits, then you can actually make aspiration, invoke power of merits, or seek the great being's nature's assistance or help. Provided you have the affinity and the understanding, then you can have this beautiful mind state. That's why love and patience, endurance, they come together. You must have wisdom that leads to real metta, loving kindness, universal love. That mind state that is very beautiful. Then with patience, you endure. Patient endurance. So they give an example. I don't know what the example is. We will read on. For example, in Shenhua, Sanhua Township of Tainan County, there is a volunteer, Sister Chen, who once heard me say, everybody or everyone is responsible for the earth. And this is very true. So we began to volunteer to do recycling work and has unwavering they upheld this resolve for more than 10 years. Initially, she was doing it all by herself. Neither wind nor rain could stop her. Gradually, she influenced the whole neighborhood and inspired many other volunteers to do just as committed, to be just as committed to environmental protection. There is also a Sister Wang, who was an elderly recycling volunteer. She was involved in a car accident, suffered severe injury, and was sent to the hospital for emergency treatment. She was in a coma for more than 10 days. And when she woke up, she had anaesthesia. Even during her meals, she would forget how much she has eaten. So she needed her family to take care of her. However, she had been a recycling volunteer for many years and had done it so wholeheartedly that despite her illness, that amnesia, her brain remembered one thing, how to do recycling work. So that one is already what they call, you have developed that faith, the aspiration, that cultivation until it has become a part of you. That's why even the brain has amnesia, but her brain can still recall this work of recycling. It has become part of your nature. So when you really cultivate until the cultivation has become so stable, it has become part of your nature. Every life you come, you will have this understanding and you will do the cultivation very naturally. I can still remember this life, how it happened. I don't need to have problem or situation to make me move into the Dhamma. The search started when I was very young. And I start to understand science, geography, then the universe, the planets, and all those things. Then straight away, I look at the heavens, the star system, the sky. Then I started to probe. Who am I? What am I doing in this miserable planet, this vast universe? What is the purpose of life? What is life? So all these inquiries start very naturally. Then deep inside my nature, the answer came out. You have to meditate to understand where this is beyond you, beyond knowledge, beyond the mundane mind, the thinking mind. That's how it all started. And I don't have to have problem to probe, to search. Then everything falls into place. Condition just arise. When the time comes, my nature just moves. Then I will encounter things that I need to encounter. I will have good parents, good friends, companion, brother, sister, and my nature will know how to move. So all this, you may find that is very strange, but to a cultivator, this is not strange. Yeah, this is like all already pre-planned through its understanding, its vows, its perfection, its virtue, its aspiration. Then that nature already have a lot of understanding, especially the perfection of adhitthana, affirmation, determination. And that one, through wisdom, understanding, invoke power of merit through nature's law. And it will just unfold beautifully. And everything is just the way it is. Need to be, will be. Meant to be, will be. That's why in the later part of my cultivation, I used to say, when the time come for my nature to move, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. I didn't do anything. My nature just echoed and flow. And all this become possible. And all this become possible. Okay, I will read on. So this is the reason why, despite her brain having this anaesthesia, because of the thing that she constantly do, recycling that thing he can remember. A Tsuji Faith Corp member saw that Sister Wang suffered from limited mobility after she was released from the hospital. Discharged, not released. Discharged from the hospital, released from jail, but not from hospital. Discharged from the hospital. That's why sometimes the English, the word you need to be careful. So from then on, he volunteered to drive her to the recycling station every day to do her recycling work. So this is very wholesome, very beautiful. They never miss a day, even during typhoon or heavy rain. This work brought the two of them much happiness. Slowly, Sister Wang began to recover from her condition. Not only has she now recovered her memory, but she also speaks coherently and often eloquently, shares the concept of recycling with others. What is more, she lives out this principle through her action. So these are part and parcel of the law of karma, the nature's law. You reap what you sow, do good begets good. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Ho sim u ho po, in Hokkien, that is very true. So if you are sincere, virtuous, kind, things will unfold and you will recover. Material objects obey the principle of physical matter or nature's law, and people obey principle as well. Just look at Sister Wang. After the car accident, she was in a coma and was completely unconscious. After she awoke, she had lost her memory and had to spend a long time recovering. However, she had one memory that did not disappear. As soon as she went to the recycling station, she knew how to sort the recycling materials. Sister Chen and Sister Wang both had an unwavering resolve, with mind pure and tranquil, free from any discursive thinking. Their one thought was to cherish and care for everything on our planet, Mother Earth. The teaching of recycling had truly entered Sister Wang's heart. This one Dhamma recycling contained very profound principles. Huge amount of recyclables are collected every day. How to sort them, convert them back to raw material, and reuse them. All of this is Dhamma. Though this is just one Dhamma, with the help of other volunteers who love and care for everyone at the recycling station, and who rain or shine willingly pick her up and drop her off. That one Dhamma gave rise to all Dhamma. This exemplifies the verse infinite meaning or infinite Dhamma door readily appear in front of them. They attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. The Buddha came to this world for one great cause, which was to open and reveal the Buddha's view and understanding, so sentient beings could realize and enter them. Ordinary beings hold on to the notion of self and others, of sentient beings and of a lifespan, etc. Actually, all of these views can be elevated to the Buddha's enlightenment or enlightened view and understanding by returning to our pure inner nature. So this is very important. How can ordinary beings understand the Buddha's view and understanding? The majority of people or living beings cannot do that because the Buddha's teachings are very subtle and wondrous. Therefore, the Lotus Sutra states the Dhamma is extremely subtle and wondrous. It is difficult to perceive and understand, and among all sentient beings, none can understand the Buddha. Very true. That's why you need to cultivate, you need to perfect yourself. Returning to our original nature or true nature should readily be a simple and easy matter. This is, I can tell you, if you don't understand, it's not easy. If you understand, it's relatively easy. The author say, how can it be so difficult? It is all because the views and understanding of sentient being have become defiled, means wrong view. Therefore, to deeply delve into the Buddha's wisdom requires great effort, great sincerity, and perseverance over a long period of cultivation. We will then be able to eliminate our afflictions and habitual tendency and experience the wondrous spiritual state of the Buddha. To walk on this broad, smooth path, we must have patient endurance with wisdom. Since we want to learn the Buddha's way, we have to apply the Dhamma. Only with the Dhamma will we have a way. So we look at the notes. There's a note 12. The footnote 12. Have a way is a Taiwanese word play, a pun. The phrase literally means Dhamma transformation. When pronounced in Taiwanese, it sounds like having a method or a solution. Master Chen Yen uses this phrase to remind us. To recite the sutra is to learn the Dhamma. After learning the Dhamma, we need to apply it. If we apply the Dhamma appropriately, then living being will be transformed. This is very true. This is the meaning of having a way. Having a way to save and transform living being. Okay, so I will read the last sentence again. Since we want to learn the Buddha's way, we have to apply the Dhamma. Only with the Dhamma will we have the way, a way to be transformed to the Dhammas. So this is to transform living being, to develop enlightenment, awakening. Okay, we will stop here so that we can have our second session. Meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Welcome, yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh, this is I want to share today's experience in meditation.
That's very good.
Because I think I was trying to slow down my mind for almost 1 hour.
Oh, very good.
It was very very active. I was trying to slow down
Yeah, no problem. Just let
until
it be.
until the
Until the
last,
Sankara are very quiet.
I think until the last 15 minutes, I only managed to
Then
slow
only
down.
managed to slow it down. Yeah,
Yeah.
because of your work.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of things keep on coming up.
You
So
will
I,
have a lot of understanding from this condition after you have to attend to a busy career life, work schedule, everything, and resolve a lot of work situation and problem. Then you meditate. Then you can see your Sankhara very active. Because these are the unfinished business that you are holding on to. But because you understand the Dhamma, you know how to meditate, you can see them. But when you don't resist or do anything, don't try to change it, just let it be. And it will slow down. It will slow down. Initially, maybe it takes longer time. But over time, as you become more skillful, more adept, it will slow down much faster. So today take you almost 1 hour to completely see it ceasing. Very good. You continue. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and then until that point, yes, then I suddenly remember the video that you shared by this Indonesian lady.
Yes.
Yeah. So
online. Very good, yeah.
So then I started to breathe in.
Yeah.
And aware.
Yes.
And
breathe out aware.
Breathe
yeah.
out aware.
Yeah.
So after about 3 to 4 times.
Yeah.
Then after that I think I just suddenly just I think I just went to sleep. Just,
oh my, huh? You doze off is very good.
I'm listening to you. I'm also listening to you.
Yeah.
From
the awareness you listen, which is very good. Yes.
Until just now when my name was called.
That's very good. Means you have awareness nature inside. Very good.
I was asleep actually, or I was
no. You
until
are
my name was called, then I just woke up.
Not really asleep. You are resting.
Yeah.
You are resting because when your sankhara slow down, then when you are able to maintain awareness, you will actually go into the resting state. You are just aware, aware, aware. Then when you hear or whatever, there is clarity. You want to hear, you want to know the, follow the sharing, you can. But most of the time you don't want. You just let it be, let it be. Whatever vibration, just go in. Good enough. Well, that vibration is wisdom energy. You let it go in, go in. Then when your name is called or something that you need to arise, you will know. So that is very good, sadhu to you. You can maintain the awareness, it's already very good. So sometimes a lot of this sharing, when you have the ability to be at the heart, you don't need to know them. You don't need to know them. You don't have to know them. So just listen from the heart, let the vibration go in. That is wisdom energy. You may, through the brain, you think you didn't hear, but actually the wisdom vibration has already gone in. So you let that stabilize. After a while, surprisingly, when you reflect and contemplate, or when you go through the daily mindfulness, daily life, you suddenly start to understand many things. That is how it happened. It has actually gone in without you knowing it. But when that internal vibration transforms, it becomes more and more refined. Then that fine vibration actually enable you to have that level of mindfulness to be sensitive, to see clearly, to understand. That's how you will like develop some form of understanding. Then you feel very strange. How come suddenly now I can understand? Last time I cannot understand. So all this will unfold, manifest. Very good. Then what happened? You can continue. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's the same thing. There's a lot of things that you have shared. Last time, I just go for your class and I just listen. In fact, this morning when I was going to work, I was listening to the recording on Tuesday. So some of the things that that you shared, I just sometimes at the time I just realized that it just hit.
Go in
suddenly,
already.
Suddenly
go in already, can comprehend already, understand deeper already. Last time not so deep, not so clear, but now very clear. Very good. That is so, how it should happen.
An example of it was earlier this year when I went to Bodh Gaya. And I was suddenly in the plane, there was nothing to do. Then I just read back the notes. Notes is on the Four Noble Truths. And then suddenly, suddenly I understand what you were sharing with us all this while. For the past 3 years, I attend your class, 3 years.
Very true, sadhu. Very good.
So that and that made me realize actually, just like the sharing in the audio by our friend in Shanghai said, just do.
Just do.
So I like say, I attend your class. Just attend your class.
Yeah, attend the class, listen, have faith, then persevere. That's why faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Just do. Then follow the instruction clearly. Then just do. Don't try to know. Everything will just unfold. And those who have gone through the path, they will know. Faith is very important. Without faith, very difficult for the spiritual understanding to go in. Where faith is the first spiritual faculty. Saddha, then Virya, and then Sati. Once Sati come in, the rest follow. Without Sati, not so easy. Very good.
And during the experience in the Bodh Gaya, I also experience and see many things I've never seen before.
Sadhu.
Especially suffering, people's suffering.
Yes. It will in, witness a lot.
In the form of children, in the form of old people, in the form of people without limbs.
Yes, that area, Bodh Gaya, has a lot of this for you to see.
And the holiest place on earth is also the dirtiest place.
Yes, correct. That's why so, you look at the condition, the karmic, everything. You will understand.
So maybe that has helped to prep me for this year. Whatever happened this year, I thought it is not as bad as in what I've seen in Bodh Gaya.
What you have witnessed in Bodh Gaya.
So the first thing that came was gratefulness.
I'm
very grateful and very lucky
to your good karmic nature.
To be born in Malaysia.
In Malaysia and with all the conditions.
Be in this body and form of mind. So,
and have this affinity with the triple gem.
So that helps me go through this year, which is something very different. Very challenging, actually. Very challenging. So
challenging,
this is one
and yet interesting and rewarding.
I think one area I learned from this year is actually gratefulness.
Yeah,
it's a very good thing to help us go through challenging times.
When you are grateful, when you appreciate life, you become different. Then there is a lot of gratitude.
And with that, when I see things or, you know, the people's reaction, sometimes, or even my own reaction, sometimes I will just laugh at it. This one no big deal. It's a
that
small
is how
thing.
Wisdom transform you. Because you see clearly all these are trivial matter, no longer important, very trivial. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. Then you move, you laugh, you smile. Then the other thing I want to add before you continue further is, you look at Bodh Gaya, the four holy places. That is where the Buddha gained enlightenment. the pure energy, the vibration, everything is still there. But why is that area so run down, so backward, so dirty, so full of suffering and misery? You have to understand the Dhamma is there, the teaching is there, but already lost. Over the years, it has deteriorated. Then what people nowadays do and practice and cultivate is so different. It's only those who have faith who go there, they benefited from that place. They can tap into that good vibration where the relics are, Sakyamuni Buddha's relic and Sakyamuni Buddha's nature. So if you have faith, the spiritual faculty, you will benefit, you can tap. But those who don't have, it's like they never knew that there was Dhamma there. They don't have the ability or capacity to tap that vibration, that nature. Because they have not developed the understanding of the teaching. They don't know how to meditate following the teaching. That's why they cannot benefit. It's like they can be near a very beautiful place with a lot of treasure, with a lot of wealth and all those things, but they can't get it. They can't get it because they're really deluded, heedless, and their karmic is such that they have such karmic condition. They have to go through all those things. So it's the extreme that you can see. So for cultivator of the way who go there, if you have this understanding, it becomes very beautiful. Otherwise, it becomes like very contradictory. How can the four holy places of the Buddha has such few, such people and all those things? Well, people can't understand. This is all part of nature's law, nature's condition. When there is nobody or hardly any can actually benefit from the teaching, the vibration, the pure energy or thing, then the area will deteriorate. Then why are those people with that type of karma born there? It's because it's for the cultivator to understand, like you go there, you can see and witness a lot of all these things. That's why it's so beneficial to you and you develop that type of gratitude, because when you see people like that, you will have gratitude. I heard about another story of a middle-aged guy, I think 31 years old. He was so fed up with life, no? He complained so much, then he gave up his job. No? Then what he was told was travel to India, to all these places, Kathmandu and all this area. So he went. No? After that trip, he came back, he became a completely changed person. No? He more or less like you are, become full of gratefulness, gratitude, and thank his good, he don't use the word karma, I think, his good condition, that he is so much better off than those people. Well, he said when he was there, they were so poor. They were like begging from everybody, then whatever food you have, if you are willing to share with them or give to them, they were so happy. So he ended up buying a lot of those breads and don't know what, chapati or what, I don't know, giving it to them. Then he saw the suffering, the misery. Then all these kids were so miserable, so suffering. Then he saw the condition was so bad. That's why when he came back, he reflected on all this. Then he shared this. That was, I think, in the 80s. I read about it. That's how I came to know that the area is terrible. That's why I told my wife, my nature, I don't know what happened. There were many occasions people keep on, we are as Buddhists, you know, they keep on having this India trip. Organized by monks and all those things. Especially Ravamanda, he went there when he tied together his sister Sumitra. Then at that time we were quite close to him. But yet, very strange, there was no condition at all. My nature cannot go there, I don't know why. But my nature have affinity with Thailand, with China. At first, Myanmar also cannot, until recently, a few years back, I think 1 or 2 years back, when Alicia talked to me that she is going there with Freddie to do up something, asked me whether I want to join them. That was the first time I went there. Then I visited that famous Buddhist temple, the Shinagon, the big monastery, not monastery, what they call it? The shrine, the very big, like the biggest one, the shrine, the golden shrine, Shinagon. That was the only trip. And also, Myanmar is quite backward, but not as bad as India, I think. Then the rest, I don't have affinity. Somehow, until today, I haven't stepped foot on India. They talk about the four holy places. No condition means no condition. A lot of Kayamita also ask me to organize trip. I say no, unless there is sign, there is condition. Otherwise, no point. You want to go because that Monday might say, oh, holy places, I must be there. You must understand everything need condition. When you don't have condition and affinity, no point. So learn to develop all this understanding and it will help you in your cultivation. Don't be callable. Good, Colin. Now you can continue. I just want to add that part so that Kayamita can develop understanding. Yeah, you can continue.
And okay, secondly, I'm also very grateful since 2018 until now, I've been able and have there's a condition that arised for me to be able to meet up with Brother Teo,
yeah.
Mrs. Teo,
yeah.
Brother Suan, and Sister
yeah.
Mifong,
yeah.
To be able to attend the class and also to learn to cultivate. Because reflecting back for the past, since 2018 until now, I also agree with Eric. I don't know what it is, but there is something, every time when I attend the class on Tuesday or Thursday,
yeah,
it's something like as if I get recharged, you know.
Yeah. That one is very true. Yeah.
Yes.
You get
and
recharged. You recuperate very fast.
Yes.
And a lot of things happen, but you don't understand at that time. But when your faith develops, when your meditation develops, when your understanding develops, then you can sense it. Then you will know. It's actually that nature there, different. When you have faith, you draw, you tap. Then also your affinity from your past karma, past affinity with the Triple Gem, with certain great beings, then with Kayamitas. All this play a part and actually brings about the causes and conditions for it to happen. That's why you can benefit. Eric also same. But for you, you are more consistent. You keep on attending, coming, then you keep on benefiting. And like you said, you feel recharged every time you come. That's why even sometimes you come late, but good, because that 40 minutes or 45 minutes, normally you come after the meditation.
Yeah, after meditation. Sometimes I sit outside.
Early, you sit outside. You meditate where you don't want to disturb them. Then after the class over, you hear the bell, then only you come in, which is very good. Sadhu. And it has helped you. Your understanding has helped you to overcome a lot of your personal life, your career, your family, and many other aspects of life that you have gone through. And it has turned you around beautifully. My nature rejoices.
Yes, and also thank you to all fellow Kayamitas, because when I realized, looking back, I think when we cultivate together, there is really some sort of energy. I don't know how to explain it, but I just get recharged and
right.
It just heal me, lah. I mean, it's the healing energy.
Yes.
It's very, very good. Yeah.
Very true.
Very, very good. And I do really miss that, the classes together. even the classes on Zoom, lately, lah, I realized there's also difference and I listen. I still get it. I feel better after listening. You know?
Correct. Because now you have this ability because you are able to maintain awareness. That is the benefit. You know how to be with it and silent. That is the one that actually help you. Then that nature actually move inside without you realizing it. Well, that pure vibration from my voice, that one transform a lot of things.
Yes, yes.
That's why a lot of people who have the faith and the ability to develop the stability of the awareness nature, they will benefit a lot. They will draw, they will tap. And sometimes they don't need to listen to the whole thing. They just silent and let the vibration go in. That is good enough. Even at the retreat, also same. So hopefully we can go back to normal. After the CMCO no more, then we can have our MCO. Then if the vaccine really come in handy, hopefully most of the activity can be back to normal. Then we will have our usual class again. I was told by a lot of Kayamita, they miss the class a lot.
And all the night supper.
Very nice. They call supper. The Kayamita bring so much good food. You continue.
And also to Brother Jin Hao and Sister Sui and all the team who actually managed to record all the video and also audio.
Yeah.
Because it is also from this audio when I always listen when I go to work. One of the most important and very useful thing that I learned is be with it.
Yeah,
I learned that from Brother Sung. From Brother Sung, he was sharing it on one Sunday.
Yeah.
Where he said there's sankhara and he just
gave it.
Then I just
silent,
I just do. I just do what he said. it really helped. So thank you for this whole team helped to record it. I think this is something that people can be listening to for many years, even for now.
That's the benefit of this recording, the video file, the audio file, and the website. Then we have the sharing, audio file, video file, then also the books. We have a lot of publication, and a lot of these books and sharings are very important, very beautiful. Over the years, more and more cultivators will find it beneficial and rather awakening, enlightenment.
Yes, and also the last session in this Zoom right now when they're sharing by fellow Kayamitas, I also learned a lot from them.
Yes.
Very practical. And it's a good experience, good sharing.
Correct.
Yeah.
So and that you all can learn from each other faster in this way. That's why I like to do the sharing and reporting in front of everybody. Because certain type of teacher, they want one-to-one interview. To me, no point. You want to learn fast, you have to learn from everybody. So when you do the reporting and sharing from everybody, people learn. But the problem is, they all paisei, they scared, wow, so many people learn, listen and got recorded some more. So a lot of people shy, they're not share. But actually, who is shy? The mundane mind, the thought is shy, not you. Your nature is beautiful. It's the wrong thought, the wrong view, the deluded egoic mind that is shy. So when you understand this, you just share. Like recently, the sharing has been so beautiful. It has bring about understanding to many people. Then they feel motivated. That's why I like this sharing session, is because more and more people are willing to come out and speak and share. And it has benefited them in many ways. not only the sharing of the Dhamma, they progress through the sharing because it makes you more brave and it makes you more like confident to speak out. If you don't speak out, the Dhamma cannot stabilize inside. You must speak out so that you can stabilize it. If you cannot express it, means you still don't know. That's why last time when I studied, I had this understanding. If I study the physics or chemistry or whatever science subject or whatever subject, if I think I understand already, what I will do is I will close the book and I will write it down. If I cannot write it out, means I still don't know. If I still need to refer to the text, means I still don't know the subject. But if I can from first principle write it out and share, means I have deep understanding. That's why when I come to share the Dhamma, it's the same. If my nature just understand and share, I don't have to prepare, I don't have to remember anything. If I need knowledge to prepare and remember, then I cannot share, because that is not the truth. That is knowledge, which is rigid. But you realize my sharing is always non-rigid. It is dependent on the condition then, on the subject matter, on the people involved, on the affinity, on the understanding and all those things. So it varies. So although my teaching center on the same essential Dhamma, but it can be approached from so many directions, so many aspects. That's why every of this sharing is different, but the essential Dhamma is the same. The three evil roots, the advice of the Buddha, the five spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance, the four noble truths is treated. It's the same focus around these few essential Dhamma, but the approach is every time different. That's why it becomes beautiful. Very good, Colin, sadhu to you.
And even sometimes sharing by fellow Kayamitas, even though if it's not in English, and I may not understand the language, but I still get them.
Yeah.
But especially from Mrs. Teo,
yeah,
and she shares in Mandarin.
Yeah,
I can feel the essence of compassion. At that times, when she share, I get it, and even tears come out.
Yeah,
very
tears,
beautiful.
Oh,
I love to hear her share more.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah. Even though those who share in Mandarin.
Yeah, Alicia, they all.
I feel the essence. Yes. So
and
it is fine whether you any language.
Yes, even Hui Rong also said share in Mandarin.
Yeah, in English or Mandarin, once you share with essence, you will get it.
Yeah.
So it is okay.
Because the essence comes from the sincerity of heart. Then they just speak. Then you can feel it. That's why sometimes it motivates people. Tears can flow.
So I'm very grateful to everyone and all the Kayamitas. So I also like to say thank you to all, especially all the team at the back who's helping
behind
and
the
prepare.
Background.
Doing
a lot of help.
Yeah, so many people
work. Even the one that helped to type out the transcript, then proofread, do the printing.
Yeah, printing and the publication.
Publication, whether the office department's reader, they are the pillar behind.
Yes.
Then the website group also, then the Kayamita Fund also, Stephanie and Sui An, and many helpers at retreat and spiritual trip. When we travel, a lot of them, they really play their role very well. That's what Kayamitas are for. So the Kayamita ship is a very good concept that we should evolve more and more. And this Kayamita ship's nature has become so different, so vibrant, so powerful, because the Kayamita force is really something that people cannot understand. That's why whatever we do as a Kayamita force grouping, it has its potency. It's very beautiful. Everywhere we go, our spiritual trip, our whatever activity and sharing, people can feel. People know it's different. Many people have told me, your Kayamitas are different.
they don't have like other places a lot of politics and all those things. They don't have. They are all very sincere, very keen to help, and they are so different. I receive a lot of very beautiful feedback on all this. So this is something that we as Kayamita can really be proud of, and we must have the joy, because this is the Dhamma way. Without the Dhamma, you cannot be in this way. You tend to be selfish. You tend to do things in a different way. But this one, the Dhamma way, is so beautiful. And a lot of people actually learn from scratch to change for the better. It's only after you change, you can see the beauty of the Dhamma unfolding. Then you can start to experience the good life, that your life has changed. The people around you also have changed because you change. That's why it brings about the condition for all the good things to happen. So your life, everything will transform. That's the Dhamma way. Very good. Colin, sadhya to you.
Yeah, agree. For things to change, first I have to change.
Now you understand, huh? For things to change, we must change. That's why when we change, people will see the virtue in you, the goodness in you, the sincerity in you, the kindness in you. Then they can actually feel you, and they feel safe when they are with you. They can trust you. That's what a lot of Kayamita share with me, the feedback and all those things. So it has been very good, Colin.
Yeah. So I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you again once to all Kayamitas, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, Brother Sion, Sister Mifung, and all the team behind who helped to make this Zoom video possible. And since this is coming to the end of the year, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. May all be well and happy, healthy and harmonious.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu. So today also happened to be our last sharing, last session before the break until New Year. You will have the Christmas holiday until the English New Year holiday. Then I think we only start on the 3rd of January. So you have exactly 2 weeks of good holiday to do your year-end festival activity or plan your trip and have your whatever wholesomeness that you may plan for your family. So we, like Colin say, we wish you all a Merry Christmas, a good New Year, a good holiday, and may all Kayamitas be well and happy. May the Dhamma be always with you. May the Triple Gem bless and protect you. So may the wholesomeness that you have developed bring forth the condition, causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma successfully and easily. And also may your good and noble wishes come true as soon as possible. So let us rejoice one more time and say goodbye to 2020 after this break. So we will go on to the next decade, 2021, in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time, about that. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Ying Bi, yes.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, sadhu, yeah.
Sorry, I was late.
No problem, no problem. No problem.
I would like to must take this opportunity to say something.
Yeah, sadhu, yes.
I have been not attending all the Tuesday and Thursday night Zoom. Even I was missing from Sunday class.
But you do listen. You do listen
yeah,
to the recording.
Listen
yeah,
to all
yeah.
the recording. Thank
yeah,
you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
This is Sui and Jin Hao
yeah.
and even Christy.
Yeah,
Christy,
correct, yes.
For helping out on all these recording and video.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to compliment on the part that Veradius was saying just now.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu, yeah.
Tang samagamohotu yavanipanapati.
Yeah, sadhu.
This was really experienced by me. Because in the year 2009, before I invited Veradius to start the
the Thursday class, I remember, yeah.
Early 2009,
yeah.
I had this opportunity, or to say the good condition, to learn Pali chanting under the late Dato Kenny Chan. When I learned the chanting from him, that was the first time I encountered this phrase.
Oh, sadhu.
Before that, because the our monastery was following Burmese tradition, this phrase. Even they don't even have they are different style.
The Burmese one is different, yes.
Different style. So
yeah.
from Brother Kenny Chan, I learned about this Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagavan Bhagavantang Abhivademi, the three prostrations. And the Imina Punya Kamena. Even from late Chief Reverend, he was using another longer version of Imina. That one they have a Gunotara, the Upajaya Gunotara.
Correct. It's in their
version.
Chanting book,
The small little book that you always carry around.
Yes.
Okay, to come to the main thing that I would like to raise is, for after I learned this phrase, because chanting ma, so every time you should end this phrase, end the session with this phrase. Then that means beginning of 2009. So somewhere after June, July, that's how I met Brother Teo.
After the AJBA talk, I remember you came with Mi Feng,
valuable opportunity to invite Veradius.
Thursday class,
and then,
And
then not only I managed to meet up with Veradius and recognize Veradius.
Sadhu, that was very important.
And then after this, many more, like I had this chance to go to Wat Na Luang, meet up with Long Po Tong Pai.
Then
another very rare golden condition.
And
then I even had the chance to go to another teacher. There's they call her Prak Mae. She's a
Prak Mae,
they call her mother lah.
I met her before in the 1989. Her monastery is near to Achayantrawn, Kanchanapuri there.
Kanchanapuri, they call Jixiang Dao.
Jixiang Dao is an island. I went to her place. When I was at Achayantrawn's place, somebody told us about her way place. We went there. And I met out with her.
She had a short haircut.
Yes.
She never. She is a upasika.
Upasika.
Monastic.
Correct.
So I would like to say these three persons, Veradius, Long Po Tong Pai, and we call her Madeden Tham La.
These
are the three most precious jewels that I.
Sadhu to you.
In my lifetime, I'm so happy to manage to meet with all the three of you.
Sadhu.
I think, like Kok Lun said, it was the what what is meant to be, it meant to be lah. The energy
correct.
From the sharing of
yes.
the things that we would like to, hopefully with this merit, whatever meritorious deeds that we have done, to help us avoid all the foolish and the heedless.
Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah. To meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones until Nibbana is realized.
Sadhu.
Very,
this
very,
very
true
important.
Because I personally experienced
it. Yeah, sadhu.
So that's the turning point after I learned the Pali chanting from late Brother Kenny-chan.
Sadhu.
I met all the three of you.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you very much for the favorable condition and course. Yeah.
Sadhu, yeah, rejoice in your good sharing. Thank you.
Sadhu. Like other kind of
can. You can nominate
can
somebody.
Not yet.
You continue.
I'd
okay.
Like to
continue.
Hope that other Kalyanamitas have the same strong faith.
Yeah.
In this sharing of merits on this aspiration.
Yeah.
Aspiration that Imina punya
kamina yes.
bala samadam.
Yeah.
Setang samadamu hotu
ya
venipa
napati ya. Very
so
important.
Have faith
yeah.
on that. Yeah.
Mm.
have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the Dhamma also, so we shall live our life in accordance with the true Dhamma
sadhu.
In our daily means of life. Yeah?
Very
then,
good. Sadhu.
I would like to end by saying Mahasadhu to Brother Teo for being so patient and so compassionate and showing a true metta to all Kalyanamitas throughout when I meet you, 2009 until now.
Yeah. 11 years already.
11 years already.
Yeah, very fast.
So fast.
Yeah, sadhu.
Okay, thank you very much,
Matthew. Thank you so much, Heavy, for the good sharing. Sadhu, rejoice. Thank you. Yun-chan, are you there?
Yeah.
So you should be given the opportunity to say something where you founded me and asked me to come out to share. You are the one. Responsible.
Oh.
So you can say some nice word or some greetings or expression or whatever you want to express to all Kayamitas. Sadhu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Most of us like to thank you for all your effort that you have made to make us really understand the Dhamma.
Yeah, that part is important, but they should thank you. Without you, I won't come out. So because of you, this
you
is possible. Yeah, the condition was that, but you are instrumental. You must understand that. And that parami is very, very powerful, and you must invoke that merit. By the power of that merit, it can help you a lot, Yun-chan. Because you have to actually develop that parami, that vow, to help you straighten your cultivation path. Because in the past, you have a mixture of many other type of teaching. That's why this line you come, you didn't move so fast and progress so far because you got a lot of mixture of cultivation. And your path was not direct. Not that direct. So you need to invoke power of merits. Like NBE say that imina punyang kamina is very important. To straighten all your views and all those things so that you really know who are the heedless and the foolish. Then only really meet out with the wise. that one very important. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll take note of that.
Yeah.
I have to get merits, I require merits.
Yeah, you have a lot of that merit for locating me and inviting me to come out. Do you know that merit is like this Pusien? Pusien got one vow. You know what was that vow? The first to invite the Sammasambuddha to come out and share. You know Pusien?
Invited Buddha to come out and share.
No, she got a vow. She want vow, life after life, whenever she arrives, wherever there is a Sammasambuddha, he wants to be the first to invite the Sammasambuddha to share. That was her vow, no?
Oh. But it was the Sampahati, who asked Buddha to share.
Sahampati was because he can read the Buddha's mind. So he told him there are some with little dust. But when it comes to Pusyan, it's a vow. So the vow is when she manifests as a form and mind. Wherever there is a Sama Sambuddha, she vowed to be the first to invite. That's why that vow is very important. So you must have made your vow, I don't know. Otherwise, how can you, like Ingbi, invite me to Thursday class and you, the whole Kayamita grouping. Because of you, the Kayamita grouping comes about. So sadhu to you. You continue.
A lot of sadhu to you, brother.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. But yours also very important. Now you can continue by saying what you want to say to the Kayamitas.
Wish everybody to continue with their hard work and
sadhu.
Hope that they will achieve their aspirations.
Yeah, sadhu.
The MCO will continue.
Yeah.
Will still continue.
For how long?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Until we all take vaccines.
Okay.
then we can mix around.
Yeah, more freely. Then can travel also, can do more things.
Then you can travel.
Yeah. So our annual retreat, hopefully in time.
It depends on the temple as well.
Yeah. If the vaccine are available, I think the temple may decide to open up. So maybe if we miss March, we may go for other months. So that next year we should have one retreat.
Based on the condition.
This retreat next year is going to be very different. A lot of people will progress. We are now with the understanding you all have. The retreat will make a big difference. Where we have gone through the whole Heart Sutra. And it has been understood by many people very clearly this time. Because we spent almost 3-4 months on the Heart Sutra. And it's so clear because we didn't rush through. We take our own time, sweet time to really go through. That is very useful.
So thanks a lot. And
no
hope
problem.
That 2021 will be a better year for
all. Definitely. For all Kayamitas. So we would like to wish all Kayamita a happy and peaceful year and holiday. So have your family together, celebrate all this holiday so that you can at least cash out with the good life. Otherwise, a lot of people under MCO has not been doing anything. So at least this year-end holiday, you can plan maybe how you want to gather with your family members, how to have dinner. But you want to have dinner, you must go to proper place. Otherwise, very dangerous. You must go to proper places that has the facility.
And you need the distancing,
That one very important. The SOP and all those things. So luckily, because of the technology, Zoom video, we are able to have our classes. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. More people can attend. No need to waste time driving to my place or Thursday class or Bing Ching Sa. So we should all rejoice with the wholesomeness, with the blessing in disguise. So let us wish everybody a Happy New Year, a Merry Christmas, and good progress along the path of Dhamma. Then may our good and pure aspiration come to fruition soon as possible. May all Kayamita realize your good and noble wishes soon as possible. So let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Okay, shall we end?
All the best, yes.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Huh?
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So have a good holiday. See you next year.
Good night.
Good night. Okay.